Chapter 9. When I wake, it's an actual bright blue morning, with real sun streaming through the window, making windowpane patterns on the floor. Everything outside is golden. No one asking me to steal anything. No young, cloaked men issuing cryptic warnings. No strange, glowing little girls standing guard while I rummage about in dark places. It's as if last night never even existed. I stretch my arms overhead, trying to remember my strange dreams, something about my mother, but it won't come back to me. The diary's in the closet where I intend to let it gather dust. Today, revenge is first in my mind. "You're awake," Anne says. She's fully dressed, sitting on her tidily made bed, watching me. "Yes," I answer. "Best get dressed if you want a hot breakfast. It's inedible once it's cold." She pauses, stares. "I cleaned away the mud you tracked in." A quick glance down and, ah, there it is, my dirty foot sticking out from the stiff white sheet. I quickly cover it up. "Where did you go?" I don't want to have this conversation. It's sunny out. There's bacon downstairs. My life is starting over today. I've just made it official. "Nowhere, really. I simply couldn't sleep." I lie, managing what I think passes as a radiant smile. Anne watches as I pour water from a flowered pitcher into a bowl and scrub at my mud-caked feet and ankles. I step behind the dressing screen for modesty's sake and pull the white dress over my head, then sweep a brush through my Medusa curls and secure them in a tight coil at the base of my neck. The hairpin scrapes against my tender scalp on the way in, and I wish I could just wear my hair down as I did when I was a girl. There is the problem of the corset. There's no way that I can tighten the laces at the back by myself, and it would seem that there is no maid to help with our dressing. With a sigh, I turn to Anne. "Would you mind terribly?" She pulls hard on the laces, pushing the air out of my lungs till I think my ribs will break. "A bit looser, please," I squeak. She obliges, and now I'm only uncomfortable instead of crippled. "Thank you," I say when we're finished. "You've got a smudge on your neck." I do wish she would stop watching me. In the small hand mirror on my desk, I discover the spot, right below my chin. I lick my finger and wipe it off, hoping this offends Anne enough that she'll look away before I'm forced to do something really horrible, pick at my scabs, examine a blemish, search for nose hair, in order to gain a little privacy. I give myself one last glance in the mirror. The face staring back at me isn't beautiful, but she isn't something that would frighten the horses, either. On this morning, with the sun warming my cheeks, I've never looked more like my mother. Anne clears her throat. "You really shouldn't wander around here alone." I wasn't alone. She knows it, but I'm not eager to tell Anne about my humiliation at the hands of the others. She might think it bonds us together as misfits, and I'm an oddity of one, my strangeness too complicated to explain or share. "Next time I can't sleep, I'll wake you," I say. "Goodness, what happened here?" The inside of Anne's wrist is a nightmare of thin red scratches, like crosshatch stitching on a hem. It looks as if they've been gouged there by a needle or a pin. Quickly, she pulls her sleeves down past her wrists.
Nothing, she says. "It was an accident.
What sort of accident could leave such a mark? It looks deliberate to me, but I say only, "Oh," and look away. Anne walks toward the door.
"I hope they have fresh strawberries today. It's good for the complexion. I read it in The Perils of Lucy."
She stands on the threshold, rocking back and forth on her heels slightly. Her unnerving gaze falters a little. She examines her fingers as she says,
"My complexion could use all the help it could get."
"Your complexion's fine." I pretend to fiddle with my collar. She's not bought off so easily.
"It's all right. I know I'm plain. Everyone says it." There's a hint of defiance in her eyes, as if she's daring me to say it isn't true. If I disagree, she'll know I'm lying. If I say nothing, she'll have her worst fears confirmed. Strawberries, you say? I'll have to try some. The glazed calm is back. She was hoping for the lie from me, for one person to disagree and tell her she's beautiful. I've failed her. Suit yourself, she says, leaving me alone at last to wonder whether I'll ever make a single friend at Spence. There's just enough time to make the morning's first stop. A little offering of appreciation for Felicity's kindness last night, and then I'm off to breakfast, suddenly famished. As I'm late, I manage to avoid seeing Felicity, Pippa, and the others. Unfortunately, it means I cannot also avoid the now lukewarm eggs and porridge, which are every bit as bad as Anne's description, and then some. The porridge congeals on my spoon in cold, thick clumps. Told you so, she says, finishing the last of a piece of bacon that makes my mouth water in hunger. When we report to our first class, Mademoiselle Lafarge's French lesson, my luck runs out. Felicity's clique of girls is clumped together in their seats, waiting for me. They guard the back row of the small, cramped room so that I'm forced to walk the gauntlet past them to take a seat. Right, here goes. Felicity sticks out her dainty foot, stopping me in the thin row between her wooden desk and Pippa's. Sleep well? Quite. I give it an extra cheeriness it doesn't deserve to show how little I'm bothered by schoolgirl pranks in the night. The foot remains.
However did you manage it? Getting out, I mean?
Cecily asks. I have hidden powers, I say, amusing myself with this rueful bit of information. Martha realizes she's been left out of the night's foolery. She can't bring herself to bring it up. Instead, she tries to be part of them by mimicking me.
I have hidden powers, she sing-songs.
My cheeks go hot.
By the way, I did secure the object you requested.
Felicity is all attention.
Really? Where do you have it hidden?
Oh, I didn't think it wise to hide it. Might not be able to find it again, I say cheerily. It's sitting in plain view on your chair in the great hall. I do hope that was the best place for it. Felicity's mouth flies open in horror. I give her foot a little shove with my leg and move up to a desk in the front row, feeling the heat of their gazes on my neck.
What was that all about?
Anne asks, folding her hands neatly on her desk like a model pupil. Nothing worth mentioning, I say.
They locked you in the church, didn't they?